The Palestinian people have a right to self-determination. This is a claim that you hear, oddly enough, not in the chants in the current campus intifada that is spreading across the US, but from those who are a bit more articulate on the anti-Israel side, those who express their hatred for Israel in full sentences rather than chants, sentences that sometimes don't rhyme with the others. And you know, it's one of those slogans that parts of it sound good. It has the word right in it. It has the word self. The term self-determination sounds pretty good. But we're here to talk about what's really behind that, what the problem is, and why the Palestinian people don't actually have the right to self-determination, and the idea of them creating the kind of terror state that they want is not a positive, unlike what you would hear on mainstream media. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 207 of the war in Israel. I am proud to have Objectivist philosopher Peter Schwartz here with me to help us understand this topic. Peter is the author of The Tyranny of Need, which you can find the link to buying it on Amazon in the chat and in the description. Peter, thank you for joining me. So yeah,
Glad
can
to
you
be here.
explain in general what this idea is and what the problem is with it?
Sure. So if you look at it from an individual perspective, an individual has rights, but obviously you don't have the right to violate other people's rights. You don't have a right to punch them in the nose, to put a gun to their head and demand their money. You don't have a right to use force against them because you have no right to violate other people's rights. Now, the same is true of any collective, any collection of people. They have no right to violate other people's rights. The purpose of a government, the formation, any state that exists, if it's a proper state, if it's a moral state, exists in order to safeguard the rights, the freedom of the citizens of that country. A dictatorship, for example, has no rights. A dictatorship is not a legitimate state because a dictatorship exists not to protect rights, but to constantly violate them. Its citizens have no rights, and it's not a legitimate state, and therefore, any country has the right, if it so chooses, to overthrow the any dictatorship that exists. Now, when you form a country, if it's done properly, if it's done morally, you do it on the basis of the principle of individual rights. The individuals have rights. They have a right to their own lives. They have a right to liberty, they have a right to property, they have a right to take the actions necessary to sustain their lives, which means only one thing. They have a right to be free from force. And that's why a government protects people against criminals, thieves, bank robbers, murderers who use force against them. And the government protects them against foreign invasion, again, which is the use of force, the initiation of the use of force against innocent citizens, innocent individuals. So let's say you want to form a country. You say, I have a right, I'm a group, I'm an ethnic group, whatever it's based on, we have a right to self-determination. Well, you have a right to form a country with one proviso. You have a right to do it if it is basically a free country, a country that respects rights rather than a country that violates rights. Now, what kind of state do the Palestinians want to establish? If you look at the existing governments that they have, and we can start with Gaza, the government there is Hamas. Hamas is, in effect, an Islamic theocracy. The people in Gaza have no rights. They are not, if you are a citizen of Gaza and you try to criticize the government, you try to publish some independent journal or newspaper or online site that condemns the government, you will be quickly arrested or executed. If you live in Gaza, you have no freedom at all. You have no freedom of religion. You have no freedom to reject the teachings of the Quran. You have no right to to ridicule Muhammad. You have no right to go against any of the dictates in the Quran that guide the government of Gaza, including, for example, practicing homosexuality. You will be prosecuted for that. In contrast, as an aside, in Israel, you have all these freedoms. Israel allows freedom of speech. It allows people to criticize the government. It allows people to practice whatever religion they want or no religion at all. There are plenty of mosques and churches, as well as synagogues in Israel, which is not the case in Gaza and in most of the Arab nations in the Middle East. So a collective entity like the Palestinians, who claim a right to establish a state, to claim a right of self-determination, are in effect claiming they have a right to violate rights. They have a right to set up a dictatorship. They have a right to set up an authoritarian government under which its citizens have no individual rights. And that's a contradiction. It would be the same as during the Civil War in the United States, where the South tried to secede from the Union and establish a Confederacy. Their claim was the same as the Palestinians. Look, we have our own way of looking at things. We have our own culture. We have a right of self-determination. We don't want to be part of the United States anymore. We want to be part of a new government, the Confederacy. Well, they had no right to do that. Why? Because the Confederacy that they wanted to establish was based on slavery. They wanted to be able to continue the institution of slavery. They wanted to continue violating the rights of Black people, and there is no such right. So they were fought. They were denied the right to establish a separate Confederacy based on this quote, right, self-determination. Now, just a final point. The proper model for establishing a state is the formation of America. There we had the colonies were under British rule, and the colonists decided that it was oppressive, their rights were being violated. They wanted to establish a new country based on the principle of individual rights, where you have a right to your life, your liberty, and the pursuit of your own happiness. This was being denied them by the British government, and they rebelled. And there they had a perfect right to set up a new government. So the right stems from the fact that each individual has a right to his own life, which means he has a right to be free from force being initiated by others. If you establish a government that supports with that principle and that recognizes rights, leaves people free, then yes, you have a right to establish a government. If you want to establish a government that contradicts that principle, as the Palestinians want to, then no, you don't have that right.
So one thing we hear from these protesters, and we often hear them when they're confronted by somebody challenging their views, and saying, "Well, what about October 7th? What about the rockets? What about the hostages?" You often hear them say, "Well, the Palestinians have been oppressed for over 70 years," which of course is an interesting way to put it for several reasons. But how would you answer somebody who says
Well,
that?
I would say I agree with him. The Palestinians have been oppressed. They've been oppressed by their own government. They've been oppressed. The people in Gaza have been oppressed by Hamas. The people in other Middle Eastern countries are oppressed by the authoritarian governments that exist in that entire region. There is in Israel, every Arab in Israel has greater rights than any Arab in Gaza or most of the Middle East. So if you say they're oppressed, you have to define what is your basis for determining what constitutes oppression. And what constitutes oppression is the use of force by the government to violate individual rights, such as exists in Gaza, such as government preventing you from the right to free speech, from the right to speak up, the right to publish books or articles, the right to practice your own religion, the right to reject the teachings of Islam. All those rights exist in Israel, including the right to reject Judaism. You can freely be an atheist in Israel. You cannot in Gaza. So the oppression that exists for so many years is a product of their own government, their own ideology, which is an authoritarian one. They have no concept of individual rights. Their view is the citizen must obey the government, and we're going to tell the citizen what to do. And the main thing we're telling the citizens to do is wipe out the Jews. Now, it's obviously not just the Gazans who are the victims of their government's oppression. It's the Israelis. The Israelis are the ones who are the targets of force being initiated by the Palestinians for the past 75 years. If the Palestinians were to disarm, were to renounce the use of force, were to somehow embrace an ideology of freedom and rights, there would be peace in the Middle East. If, by contrast, Israel disarmed and gave up its means of using force in defense, in retaliation, you would have a bloodbath, as occurred, for example, on October 7th, and occurred many times in the past. The one obstacle to peace in the Middle East is the desire by the Palestinians to implement an ideology that says the Jews must be wiped out. This is the source of the oppression in Gaza and in the Middle East, an oppression of which the Palestinians, as well as the Israelis, are the victims.
So over the years, you've given lectures and written about the logical fallacy that Ayn Rand identified as package dealing, and I think there's probably quite a few examples around how people are arguing for supposedly for the Palestinian cause, but against Israel. Any ones that sort of stick out?
Well, yes, this thing that we were just talking about, this idea of oppression. It is not oppression if you are denied a desire to which you have no right. If I want your home, you're my neighbor, you have a much nicer house than I do, and I want it, I'm not being oppressed by you because you don't give it to me. I'm not being oppressed by you because you don't let me steal it from you. Oppression means the use of force, the initiation of the use of force. When force is initiated, as it has been by the Palestinians against its own citizens and against Israelis, then the proper response is retaliation. But they have this sort of package deal that oppression exists whenever you don't get something you want. We want to establish a new country. Israel won't let us do it. We're being oppressed. Well, the reason Israel won't let you do it is because you want to establish that country as a means of oppression, as a means of denying the rights to both your own citizens and to Israelis. So that's, a common package deal here.
I want to quickly thank our super chatters. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan, again. Jonathan says, Peter, beyond being a brilliant thinker in his own right, also knew Miss Rand personally. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Ginger. And thank you, PC. PC says, all the Palestinians want to do is violence, and they are full of hate. And thank you, Garbled Words, for the super chat. They say, great argument and lecture. So in recent months, since October 7th, but more recently, and even in recent days, we've seen growing calls among Western leaders for more progress to be made toward a Palestinian state. The European Union is now announcing that by the end of May, they're expecting several member states of the European Union to announce that they recognize a Palestinian state. What do you make of that, in general, but also of the timing of it, and how should we see that? How should we
Well,
look at it?
the question that puzzles so many people, people with the right views, particularly in the West, is how is it possible that such sympathy exists for the Palestinians and for Hamas? Given the atrocities, the butchery that they committed in October 7th, most recently, how is it possible that there are all these demonstrations on campuses and elsewhere in the West in support of Hamas and the Palestinians generally? And I wrote an article recently about it. You people can access it on my website, peterschwartz.com. The article is analyzing the Hamas sympathizers. And ultimately, the root cause, the root explanation, is the ethics of altruism. Now, why do I say that? You can obviously, it's perfectly appropriate to have compassion for people who are suffering. If the suffering is not deserved. So if your neighbor's house burns down by accident, and he's out of a, he doesn't have a place to live, you can easily help him. It's perfectly appropriate for you to lend him a hand, help him out. You have compassion because he is suffering through no fault of his own. But if his suffering is the result, the fire that burned his house down was something, a fire that he himself set, then obviously you would not sympathize with it, particularly not if he set the fire in an attempt to burn your house down. That is just common sense. Yet the doctrine of altruism says anyone in need is entitled to your energies, is entitled to your help. He's entitled to your sacrifices. It doesn't matter what the cause of his need is. All that matters is he lacks something. You can provide it. You have a moral obligation to do it. So if you see a homeless man on a street corner who spends his days in an alcoholic stupor, altruism says he is in need, you have money, give it to him. Doesn't matter that he's the cause of his own misery, that's irrelevant. He's in need, need is a moral claim against you, you must provide it. And that is now underlying the attitude towards Palestinians. People see pictures of bomb houses being bombed by Israel, their children who are walking around hungry. There's all this need. We have to do something. Israel has to stop the attack, the counterattack. Well, that's absurd. The cause of the suffering in Gaza, the entire cause, the entire responsibility is Hamas. They threatened Israel. They launched an attack against Israel. which made it necessary to engage in an all-out war to destroy Hamas, a war in which civilian casualties are inevitable. It's inevitable, particularly given that Hamas uses civilian installations, schools and hospitals and mosques as bases for their military activities. So Hamas is responsible for every single casualty, every single suffering, every single death that is occurring in Gaza is the responsibility of Hamas, except that altruism says ignore the cause. All that matters is need. And the only way for people ultimately to look properly, to assess the situation properly, and to see who is innocent and who is guilty here is to question, to challenge the premise of altruism that need creates a moral claim against you.
Thank you, Wes, for the super chat. James says, better than any writer ever, Peter Schwartz has explicated what a moral foreign policy looks like. And on that, I want to ask you, what do you think of Israel's I'll say foreign policy, but also their military policy when it comes to the Palestinians, when it comes to the threats, the materialized threats, the fact that they're being shot at from all directions at the moment. And their, let's say, diplomatic their policies on dealing with friends or so-called friends and allies, and how would you compare that to the foreign policy of Israel's enemies, like, for example, Iran?
Well, Israel is the best country in the world in terms of asserting a right to self-defense. However, it's still pretty poor. It still is far from the ideal. Israel, just like the United States, is shackled by the creed of altruism. It is unwilling to categorically state, we have been attacked. We have a right of self-defense. We have a right to annihilate Hamas and whatever part of Gaza is necessary in order to achieve that goal. Again, as I said just a few minutes ago, Israel needs to say, every single casualty, every single ounce of suffering, every single death is entirely 100% the responsibility of Hamas. Once Hamas is destroyed, or if Hamas is willing to just unconditionally surrender and return the hostages, then the fighting will stop. But Israel is unwilling to do that. Israel feels it has to appease its critics. It has to allow supplies to go into Hamas, quote, humanitarian supplies. Which is absurd when you're fighting an enemy to send in supplies, which helps feed the enemy. It's only altruism that makes that kind of perversion possible. So Israel has a largely proper foreign policy, but severely flawed, just as the United States does. They are unwilling to stand firmly by the principle that once you're attacked, you have a right to destroy your attacker. You don't have to take into account the casualties, even the civilian casualties that result in it. You have a moral obligation to do whatever is necessary to protect the rights of those who have been attacked. You have a moral obligation to protect the innocent and whatever damage occurs, even if it's to the innocent in Gaza, and there are some, certainly, young children are innocent in Gaza, even if most of the adults aren't. The children, any harm or deaths to the children are a necessary consequence, unfortunately, of the fact that Hamas chose to try to destroy Israel.
So, in the few minutes we have left, in the show that follows, the reality show that follows this show, we're going to talk about who is behind the what we're calling the Campus Intifada, the student protests or protests on university campuses. But I wanted to ask you, what you think of them, of these particular protests, how you would compare them. You know, they compare themselves, certainly the ones in Colombia, to the 1968 protests in Colombia. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, they are similar if you look at the philosophic roots of them. You know, when during the riots in Colombia in the 68, in the 68, 69, it was not that, America has no valid self-interest in Vietnam. We want America to pursue only the self-interest of Americans. We want to protect the rights of Americans. That's why we're against the war. This was a protest at the time. This was a protest against America. It was an anti-American protest, and it was sympathetic, which is really perverse, sympathetic to the Viet Cong, to the communists, to the people who wanted a totalitarian system. And then subsequently established one once the US withdrew and the Viet Cong won. The protesters were sympathetic, they were flying Viet Cong flags. It was an anti-American protest. And the same is happening now. This is really another watershed event, I think, in American culture, where all of the worst elements of the culture, of the society, are crawling out from under the rocks and waving Palestinian flags, waving Hamas flags, denouncing Israel, denouncing the United States. You know, these people who are all protesting would have no rights whatsoever if they lived in Gaza. They would have no rights protest. They would have no right to reject the religion of Islam if they so chose. These people are just rabidly anti-American, which is partly the same as being anti-Israel. They're anti-American because of what makes America good. They're anti-American because America is a capitalist country, because we're an individualist country, despite our flaws. This is what they're opposed to. And I don't know how the protests will end. It's a shame how the administrators are capitulating to them. The same has happened in the 1960s. And the source of this is the philosophy that they're taught, particularly the philosophy of altruism and the philosophy that collectivism rather than individualism, and therefore the idea that America is evil, Israel is evil, the Palestinians are having a noble cause.
Thank you, Lyron, for the super chat. And Peter Schwartz, thank you again for this interview. The Tyranny of Need is available. We should have links to Amazon US and UK to buy this. If you are elsewhere, I trust that you will find a way to order it. And so thanks again for joining us. And
Yeah, and thanks. If people want more information about lectures and writings I have, they can go to peterschwartz.com, which is my website and has everything that they might like. Thank you for having me, Rosie.
Thanks everybody for watching. And if you enjoy this content, if you like it, if you think it is valuable and more people should watch it, consider liking, pressing the like button, sharing, commenting. Comments help more than anything else with the algorithm. And of course, consider becoming a member of the Ayn Rand Center UK. Thanks everybody again for watching. And the reality show starts in a couple of minutes. We'll see you there.